Thank you. Honorable members, our support team members of the media and all those that are watching this important meeting today, South Africans, greetings to you all. This is a very important meeting because today we are going to discuss what over the last 3 months, in fact, more than 3 months, because it started in December 2020, when we invited written submissions, followed by oral submissions that were made to us, and then we went out to public hearings. So today we're going to discuss what the people of South Africa are saying about the expropriation bill that has been presented to us from the parliament, from the department. A very crucial bill that, if passed in parliament, it would really address what we say are the imbalances of the past. The reality is that we have to amend the laws that have been made by the previous government. We can't each and every day say that this country has been transformed if we cannot change the laws that were adopted by the previous government, the one of apartheid. I welcome all those that are here to observe, because they will be observing. They won't be participating in the meeting, only the members that will be participating. We really appreciate that you felt that today you need to come and observe and listen when we deliberate on all the reports that have been compiled through the three processes that I've mentioned: the written submissions, the oral presentation, and the public hearing. With those few words, honorable members, you must understand that this country today is looking upon you to check whether are you really going to address what needs to be addressed in this country. Are we ready, really ready to transform this country? You are all welcome. Ms. Matinise, can you present the agenda to us and the apologies, if there are any apologies that we have? Thank you.
Thanks again, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, honorable members and our colleagues. We only have one apology from the Honorable Van Staden. He won't be able to attend this meeting. The agenda is fairly simple, Chair. You've already alluded to it. We'll just be the support team, the content team of the Expropriation Bill Project, and that is supporting this portfolio committee, will present today the public participation reports of the Expropriation Bill B23 of 2020. And thereafter, the honorable members will deliberate on the matter. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Then over to our team.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. If you may allow me, I'll just share the screen. Can I get an indication if it's visible?
It's visible.
All right, thank you. Honorable Chairperson, once again, as the support team of the committee, would like to present to you the inputs that the public have submitted on the expropriation bill while the portfolio committee had opened three phases of the public participation on the actual legislation. Our presentation will give the background, the three phases of public participation, as well as the conclusion. I will be sharing the presentation with my colleague, the content advisor of the portfolio committee, Mr. Shoaib Nathan. So at some point through you, Chair, I will hand over to him. Firstly, Chairperson, we last year, sometime when we were clarifying the process of legislation, we also did allude to this slide that is currently on the screen, where we just really briefed the committee on the fact that the process of processing legislation is according to Rule 2866 of the National Assembly Rules. So at this point, Chair, we are on number five, where the committee is deliberating on the inputs that the public had given after having opened a window for all of those. This is a bit of a brief background, Honourable Chair. The committee basically strives to give effect to the constitutional obligation, Section 59, to provide as much opportunities as reasonable for the public involvement in its work on the bill. It divided public participation in three main phases, I've already stated. Firstly was the email submissions, two sessions of oral hearings using the virtual platform, as well as 36 public meetings physically meeting communities and regions of the nine provinces throughout the country. The actual project, Chair and Honourable Members, started on the 14th of October when the Speaker of the National Assembly referred the expropriation bill B23 of 2020 to this portfolio committee. That's exactly when the project started. So, and the project actually ended in terms of public participation on the 29th of August, 2021, when we had our very last public hearing. So the committee resolved that calls for public comments must be published on the 10th of December, 2020, which happened. Print media and website publication went out on the 11th to 12th December, 2020. In January of 2021, there were some radio promotions that were aired from the 25th of January. And social media adverts were also published during the same month. The committee therefore resolved to extend the due date for oral submissions to 28 February 2021 because it wanted to maximize the opportunity for the public to give their input. Chairperson, in terms of the methodology that was used by the portfolio committee on the first phase of the public involvement or public participation, we used electronic submissions as well as the oral submissions and the provincial public hearing. So when we were dealing with the written submissions, this portfolio committee pioneered a pilot project to test the effectiveness of online submissions while exploiting the digital disruption opportunities that Parliament can optimize on as a means to enhance and maximize its mandate delivery. And with this, Chair, we came up with a WhatsApp or rather electronic link submission, which was accessed by the public via a WhatsApp line, which was 060-550-9848. This WhatsApp line, a member of the public would just send any kind of text message to the number, and the number would automatically give the person a link that needed to be followed in order for the person to complete the online electronic form. Out of this, 6,216 submissions were received by the end of February 2021, which was the due date, and approximately 6,000 more submissions were received after the due date. Chairperson, this is notwithstanding the close to about 11,000 queries that we also received after the due date as well, which we could unfortunately not accept because it was only after the due date. On the email submissions, we also traditionally, as Parliament would usually do for any legislation, there was an email line that was opened for the expropriation bill, where we received a total of 129,127 email submissions. Due to missing data categories and the repeat of submissions right through the submission period, a total of 9,725 submissions dropped from the raw data analysis to a clean data sheet. And at this level, Chairperson, I would now like to hand over to our content advisor, my colleague, Mr. Shoaib Nathan. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, everyone. My apologies for not broadcasting my screen, as it is going to make the presentation easier. I hope I'm audible enough, Chair. My voice is not what it's supposed to be. But Chairperson, just and members, just to talk a bit about the total ideal situation, which is 129,127 email submissions that were sent through to the committee, to the email that we created. The ideal is, of course, that every single one of those submissions are then analyzed. Now, unfortunately, that's not always the case with a large data set. And what happens in a case like that is you have to look at, for you to analyze all the submissions, they must all have a consistency in terms of the categories that are provided. These are categories such as, are you a private submitter? Are you part of an organization that you are submitting? Email address, the message that you are sending, an attachment. Unfortunately, email submitters did not always do that. And in cases like that, we just could not include them in the cleaned up data sheet. Now, the total that were not included is 9,725. These are both due to missing data categories, but also due to repeat submissions. Now, what do we mean by repeat submissions? We found repeat submissions in a number of ways. One, I submit using the same message, but using three or four different emails. In other words, it's naughty in the sense that it is not three people that's submitting. It's one person submitting thrice. When we find that, we have to just take that as one submission. And if we look at the total in the end, then you came, that is what brought us to a total of 9,725. A large number of this came from submitters that agreed with the bill. There's a percentage also that did not agree with the bill. And so it is not as if the 9,725 have a particular point of view that was the reason why they could not be included in the clean data sheet. It's actually a spread of views, and the reason why they were dropped had to do with naughty repetitiveness as well as missing data categories. Now, the percentage that we then were able to analyze is 119,402. That makes up 92.4% of the total that we received, with the 9,725 being 7.5% of the data sheet that we consider naughty or dirty. Now, I make the point here that it's important that these were not thrown away. Now I need to explain why we say they were not thrown away, even though they're part of the analysis. These views, fortunately, because we have three phases of public participation, because we as a committee take what the court said in Doctors for Life seriously, and we take Section 95 seriously, we are making absolutely certain that people's views are heard. We make absolutely certain that public participation is reasonably open and as open as possible. So this 7.5% that fell off, their views came through in the oral submission phase of March, as well as in the second oral phase in September. Nola, may you move, please? Next slide, Nola. Thank you. So let's just, the one before this, Nola. Let's just go through what we found before we go to the actual analysis. We need to say to members, to this committee, that the objective here is to provide a breakdown of submissions. And in other words, we say, dear public, speak to us about this expropriation bill. Tell us what's your views on it, right? And so we wanted to know whether they support it or not. And then we want to know, very importantly, which clauses do you say are problematic and which do you support? And those that are problematic and supported, how do you want us to improve them? So that is the main objective of this analysis. We can go to the next slide, Nola. The number of email submissions that were contaminated, I think I dealt with, so I'm not going to go through that again. It's the overzealousness of submitters, because this is the fantastic thing about our public. Their willingness to participate in democracy and in lawmaking must be celebrated in this report. And I'll refer later on to the organizations and the individuals that assisted us greatly in this. I think I spoke to that point on that previous slide, the last one as well. So this is important. And this speaks to why the Pioneer project on WhatsApp was started. As a committee, we don't want to just invite the public to participate. Then we find that there's a problem with a method, and then we make as if we can push through with that method because it's the only method and it's the best method. Well, if the email submission shows something, it shows that it is open to repeat submitters, and it is unfortunately open to those that have access to internet more than what it is to those that do not have. In other words, those with resources participated fully. Those without resources did not. So the views that we have here are limited in email submissions. The other thing that we know is that organizations that were already campaigning against expropriation without compensation, as in the Cabinet Amendment Bill 18, in other words, the bill dealt with the ADA committee that want that, according to a House resolution, has to make explicit what is already implicit in the Constitution, Section 25. That process saw a number of organizations using Facebook, LinkedIn, their own pages online with bulk emails provided and in petition form. Now, what that did was fantastically opened up the public participation space largely online. The unfortunate thing is that those online ones coming through block emails would be thousands of people who would say they align themselves to the view of one organization, but they are private submitters. So that anomaly furthermore made the data set an untrustworthy one that cannot necessarily be used in its form, in its total form of 129,000, which is why it got whittled down as it did. These are the organizations that we must really applaud as organizations that played a fantastic role in opening up the space and enabling people to participate. The unfortunate thing is that they were only opened up to those that have and not necessarily to those that did not. The committee had to step in to ensure that it collected the views via WhatsApp, which seems to be a better one, and Parliament as an institution may want to look at another session where this support team may give you the differences between email and WhatsApp submissions. And then, of course, we backed it up with the visits to the 9 provinces, 36 sessions where we spoke to the people personally. These organizations are Dear South Africa, the SA Institute. Let me just go back to that, Nola. SA Institute of Race Relations, Transvaal Landbou Unie, Free State Agriculture and AfriForum. And then there's also AfriForum's site, onteiening.co.za. Interestingly, onteiening Afrikaans is an Afrikaans word that means to take something away from owners. That set the theme for their participants. And then some of these organizations, we must understand historically, are linked to one another. Transvaal Landbou Unie and Free State Agriculture, AfriForum and AfriBusiness and SACA-Liga, there's a link between all those. And that link, of course, also then decreases the variety of views expressed on a bill. Free State Agriculture referred to in the above is Free State, sorry, I don't know why I'm repeating this. Nola. The point I'm really making is that the Transvaal Landbou Unie is the mother body that became Free State Agriculture, as well as, I think there's a case in agriculture, et cetera, as well. Of course, there are also independent agriculture organizations that one can refer to later on. The views expressed in a large majority of the emails is the same, therefore, as what the organizations submitted to the ad hoc committee processing the CAB. The most prevalent objection we note already, we can say, is that both in the emails and in WhatsApp, as well as in the public participation process, clause 12 of this bill and its subsections, in other words, expropriation without compensation, being against the constitutional right to own property, the majority of the public opposed that and spoke against that. Of course, in the email written submissions, that is, and in the WhatsApp, not in the in the oral submissions as well, but not necessarily so in the contact sessions. Main feature evident through the email submissions is this: the submitters would claim, I refer to this, that they submit their private and individual capacity. But then the wording that they used in their body, where they make input on the email, on the bill, they would say, I, the undersigned, view this as my individual and separate input, and then contradict it by saying, I agree with the view of Free State South Africa, or the view of Onteiening, or the view of Transvaal Landbou Unie, and then list those. SA Institute of Race Relations, of course, as well. Thanks, Nola. Next one. Now, in spite of having those problems, we view every single submission, whether it's an email, whether it is somebody coming up to us at a gathering where we deal with a bill and passing us a note on a cardboard, on a piece of cardboard, every single submission, including every single email submission, is important. We must just stress here that we did not look for repeat submissions and then deleted them. Some repeat submissions where we find there was a difference, even though it's the same email or the same person and the input is different, we would grab that different part and include it in the submission. Because as we said, the objective is to identify clauses that are problematic. It wasn't to identify somebody's position on the bill, but it was to identify which clauses are problematic and how do you want us to give attention to it. The next one, the committee strengthened public participation process after we found all these problems by inviting submitters. In the email submitters, there were a group that said, we would like to make a presentation. We identified them, listed them, and invited them to come make submissions to the committee. We did this in two rounds because the first round showed that there were submitters. Sakalicha, I think, contacted the committee and Parliament and requested and asked, listen, some people who asked to make oral submissions were not included. What are you people doing? And we acted on that reprimand from the public and then started a second round of oral submissions. And then we strengthened the submissions, the public process by going to 36 regions right through the nine provinces where the committee met and interacted with people. And here Parliament and the teams from various units in this Parliament must be congratulated. And the Secretary, as the coordinator of that team, must be congratulated for the work that they did to get this right and to work in such a close team to get the people there and keep them safe under these trying conditions. The next one, Nola. This one is almost, my apologies. This one is almost invisible. I tried here to identify and show the type of submissions that came in. If members are stressing their eyes, I don't know whether you can see when I point, but where it says white farming property rights and African dispossession are two sides of the same coin, you would notice those types of comments were not, I put that one in there so you could see the type of comment that is actually not part of a submission. That is one of the submissions that were taken out. That's from the 7,925 that I included in this slide. So you can see that when something is not really about a clause of the bill that you are discussing, then it's irrelevant. It's unreasonable for us then to include them when we analyze. A number of them look like that. And then you can see this cluster over here at the bottom that speaks of confusion with this bill and 18th cab, clause 18, debt owed on a bond, clause 12.3, clause 12 and the subsections, etc. You know, those, and then of course the issue of the definition of property. Those are clauses that were highlighted by people in the email submissions, and that is the total of 119,402 that we then were able to analyze. Thank you, Nola. The next one, I think it's, yeah, there we go. Now, we just want to say that there were a number of matters that were raised that are relevant, but they are not part of what the clauses of this bill are dealing with. Submitters from the organized agricultural sector viewed the bill as a tool to forward land reform. And some argued that correctly so, they can have that point of view, that land reform failed, and therefore this bill was brought in a sly way to address the issue of land reform. The point must be made, and the public submitters in this case must be corrected. The bill is not about land reform. The bill is related to land reform. This bill is, however, strongly about putting an administrative system in place with which the state expropriate for the public purpose as per the Constitution. The second bullet, submitters from commercial farmers, representing commercial farmers, suggested that emerging farmers should be provided with highly subsidized credit to buy land. It's relevant, it's necessary, but cannot be in the bill. Landowners and commercial farmers fear the loss of land. If land is expropriated, there will may be lengthy and costly legal battles. These same submitters would also say that there will be war because you're taking people's property and land away. They would also say property not defined, but saying including land means that immovable properties, cars, jewelry, things that were inherited will be taken. And that created further fear. And I must say, we must be very careful in this country. Public participation in the democracy is crucial. But public participation, by raising the fear of the people, creating unreasonable fear, is dangerous. Remember, we do not want to create division. We need to create a unified and maintain a unified, strong, robust democracy. Robustness must not cause division. Landowners and commercial farmers fear the loss of land. That's understandable. And it will be lengthy and costly legal battles. Submitters also said that the bill has raised perceived rights, which means you raise the perception that people are going to get land. These people are poor, they need land, they need to farm, they need to work. You raise their perceptions, and therefore they're going to increase their attacks on our farms. This is relevant, but it's a matter outside the ambit of the bill. The next one, Ola. Submitters also indicated they were in favor of orderly land reform process, and we are all in favor of orderly land reform process. Expropriation is viewed as dangerous. Expropriation is something that takes place in every single country on every continent of the world. And if we do not spread fear in an unreasonable way, then it is not dangerous. In fact, this bill is trying to put an administrative system and an appeal system in place that ensures that it is done orderly, that it will not destabilize the economy and the country. And this country and this government certainly does not want disinvestment. It wants investment. There were indications also that expropriation without compensation is an unrealistic expectation, and that food security would be threatened. It would bring instability to black and white farmers, and they will be negatively impacted. Of course, the whole country will be negatively impacted if that is the case. The government should consider highly subsidized interest loans or loans from a bank with low interest to assist black farmers. That is a point taken. And these types of submissions will be shared with our sister committees and departments. I'm certain the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure will do so. They would say also that land reform, if it's implemented for public purpose, we should consider using land on the fringes of the town. In addition to that, this matter of public purpose, remember, public purpose is part of Section 25. And so that point can be taken and can be dealt with, but as I say, really on the outside ambit of the bill. Suggestions that 90% of land claimants want money, not land. How well that is researched, one would have to look closely at that. But my understanding is that it can be contested to that point. Number three, bullet three, the restitution process currently in place should be properly instituted. It should include funding young South African farmers with tools, etc. This is a very important point that the Department of Agriculture should look at. Submitter also welcomed the conclusion of the cannabis bill to allow for the planting of hemp for fuel. State-owned land must be given to emerging farmers. I think that is something that does happen. Submitters supported the suggestion that this communication campaign to allay the fears of investors must be undertaken, and I think government should look very strongly at some of these suggestions. Next slide, Nola. Suggestion was also made that instead of expropriation, government should consider reparations. Argument there is that not only is reparations owed by persons who had been advantaged formerly, but reparations should also be sought from the former colonial powers such as the British and the Dutch. This is like a group, large group action that is being suggested here, and there may be people that should take this up. Again, outside the ambit of the bill, but related. And Nola, next slide, please. This is the WhatsApp submission that I thought you would speak to, Nola. But let me just say something about it. Chairperson and members, if we look at the spread across provinces and the spread of responses of this sample that our WhatsApp Pioneer Project provided us, it looks small, 6,216, but the sample provides a very interesting insight here if we compare this with the email submissions. Nola, can you go to that one where the email submissions is? And then I'll have to come back to this one. Yeah. The email submissions, members, you would notice the problem here. That, and again, I'm not interested in those that indicated no and those that indicated yes. I'm interested in the spread. This gives us an idea that organizationally, people who were organized online through the hard work of the TLU, SA Institute of Race Relations, Free State Agriculture, AfriForum, Dear SA, and others, we had a fantastic amount of people wanting to participate. The problem is this is not available to everyone in the country. And so only 0.02 stipulated a view that was different from the organization. If you look at individual submissions, only 1% individual submissions. And let me say this, that 1% is probably incorrect. That's incorrectly stated for this reason. And I know why I say it, because the error is part of what I did. We attempted to get as many people's views included as possible, and there is an error here where some of these who said individual are those who would say I submit as an individual, and yet when you look at their input on the bill, then it's the view of the Institute for Race Relations or Transvaal Landbou Union or Free State Agriculture or on the ANM. In other words, it's not their own, it's that of the organization. Can I just go back to the WhatsApp slide, Nola? In comparison, over here there is a better spread, not only provincially, but a much better spread of views we found. And when we assist Parliament later on, we will try to show how these diversity, the methods that allow for diversity, is the ones that we should focus on more than email. Because in the case of emails, the category, the participants, the submitters just do not stick to the categories, and they do act in an overzealous, naughty way and then repeat the submissions. Now, I think if there's any slides that I must give input on, we may move there, otherwise you may take over. Thank you. I spoke to that one, Nola. Let me go to the oral hearings. Next one. There we go. So these are the oral hearings, and I must just, before Nola takes over, say that, and I'm repeating this now, the 9,725, in other words, the 7.5% repeat submissions, non-categorized submissions that we excluded from the clean sheet, a lot of their submissions then found their way into oral presentations. A lot of them were able to submit orally. What were excluded, and here one feels sorry for them, but there were a lot of submitters in favor of the bill in this 9,725. I think there's about 5,000 to 6,000 of them that were not included because there were bits of confusion that crept in, and it was more about land reform and the need for agriculture. And so they agreed with the bill as a method to get them in, but they were not included. Some of them were also brought in orally, and the National House of Traditional Leaders, etc. So on the 24th and 25th of March, we had the first phase. Then we were told, listen, that was not enough. Some submitters that asked to be part of it were not given a chance. And then while we were traveling through the country, we came back on the 7th of September and did a second phase, and they were done on Zoom. And there we have some of that. Thank you, Nobala. Can I have a glass of water and then you take the next? Oh, no, you wanted me to go through this as well. Right. Jefferson and members, here we have 4 individuals and 15 organizations for the 24th and 25th. The organizations, AfriForum, I just want to go through that, Nola. AfriForum, AgriSA, SACA Liga, and you can see AfriForum there. And remember, AfriForum had their website called on ANN. So AfriForum's view was already expressed in the public written submissions. We, however, are not going to exclude AfriForum from the oral submissions. That is not the nature of a democratic organization. Chapter 4 of the Constitution organization. Parliament will open up as per section 59 of the Constitution, keep it open and allow people to participate. AgriSA, SACA Liga, that also operates as agri-business. The Banking Association of South Africa, ContraLesa, the Institute for Race Relations, again, an organization that had a website and bulk emails. Transvaal Landbou Unie, also. Western Cape Legislature of the ANC. Cape Flats Communities. COSATU. Business Unity South Africa and Agribusiness Chamber. The National House of Traditional Leaders. Minerals Council of South Africa. Minerals Council of South Africa was almost excluded in the email group, but we brought the view into the email group, so that it's not part of the 9,725, and their view is therefore also expressed again. And then the African National Congress Women's League, and this ANC Women's League had a fantastic presentation, but there was also on the 28th in the email submissions, a proliferation of African National Congress aligned emails that came in, and some of them, those are some of them that were excluded because of repetition. On the 7th of September, when we came back, Ms. Zenandi Boy, Prof. Madonsela, the former public protector, Mr. Jaco Swart, Ms. Zanele Luana, Mr. Brett Heron of the Good Party, Almin Duplessy, who is the National Research Foundation's Sachi for property law of professors. These were all academics associated with the National Research Foundation chair. They had an email submission with an attachment that we looked at. Land and Accountability Center, that is Ms. Nandi Boy, National Employer Association of South Africa. So all of them were then included again. Mr. Saul de Tooy of the SA Institute of Valuers were not in the email, but were included in here, as he always does a very nice presentation for us on that aspect. Then we must note that these are the matters that came through in the oral submissions. The inadequacy of the existing 63 of 75 Expropriation Act, the need to standardize, uniform, to provide for uniform processes and clarify the expropriation procedures is not in, in this act. Broad consensus that historical land disposition needs to be redressed. And then people spoke of their personal and their cultural and social, the social importance of redress, viewing the bill as a powerful tool for restitution and redistribution. Mr. Musto from the NHTL and the Minerals Council, ANC Women's League, BUSA and Agribus recommended substantive amendments to the bill. These will be responded to by the Department of Public Works legal team, Parliament's legal team, and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. They generally agreed that the bill would not pass. Mr. Musto and Minerals Council, they felt the bill would not pass constitutional muster in its current form. There was submissions that said that the definition of property, the bill uses definition of property as in the Constitution. These submitters felt that that must be clearer. And the National House of Traditional Leaders requested that communal land should be exempted from expropriation. And BUSA and Agribus said that the bill was insufficiently clear about what would happen if the purpose, in other words, public purpose, for which the property had been expropriated, lapsed. Now, just to say that there is already there's a whole chapter in the bill on that matter that the legal advisors next week can address. Can we go to the next one? Next slide, Nola. Significant disagreement about expropriation. Oops, where are we now? Yeah. Significant disagreement about spheres and branches of government that should be involved. In other words, it's the issue of the minister being a minister of public work and infrastructure being, according to the bill, enabled to give expropriating powers to expropriating authorities. That's defined in the bill. Mr. Jacobs and others supported the position of the bill that the determination of compensation was an executive function rather than a function of the courts. Mr. Musto and Minerals Council argued that the position was unconstitutional. Traditional leaders recommended that only the minister should have expropriating powers to preclude conflicts of interest and submission. Several of them, especially Kasatu, said the bill provided adequate checks and balances against abuse by government. There are those sections that some of the submitters unfortunately seem to have ignored in their criticism. On the second phase of submissions, that is the September 1, we noted that many submissions gave indication that there was no need to repeal the existing Expropriation Act 63 of 75. I think on ANN South Africa, I mean, on ANN as a site, the AfriForum site makes that point in the email submissions as well, and several others, that no, you don't need to repeal this Expropriation Act. It works quite fine. Leave things as they are. There was a broad consensus, however, in the submitters, in the oral submitters, that there is a need to redress historical land dispossession, and it spoke to the cultural and social importance of redress, as we already said. Let's go to the next one. This is the yes, no, and in-between type of support of the oral submissions, you would notice that it's a reasonable balance, the in-between influencing the other two, but 56% no and 41% yes, with a 3% that seems to be in between, agree and do not agree. Next, that's a very nice position, by the way. As a last phase, we then did the public hearings, 36 districts in all 9 provinces that were visited. 4 districts per province were targeted and granted opportunities to the ordinary people who could not email and who did not WhatsApp to make their submissions on the ground. We will, I suspect, never really move away from contact with our people, as it's evident that this is where they express themselves best. Thank you, Chair. I hand over to the Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the colleague. I just want to make one note about the WhatsApp submissions, Chair. This was the very first committee to actually come up with such an innovation, to a point that we tried to lobby our management to see if that method cannot be utilized by all of the committees, because we saw that it works. This was also, Chairperson, presented to the IPU as one of the innovative methods of processing legislation, especially in maximizing on public participation. So it has grown into length, and we have been in consultation with our ICT colleagues. They're trying to ensure that they're putting the right systems in place so that we can make sure that we are able to implement it in Parliament. Coming into the analysis of submissions, Chairperson, as my colleague has said, the portfolio committee went through all 36 districts throughout the 9 provinces in the country. And these also, Chair, took place during different levels of lockdown, because at some point we had to park our program because the lockdown regulations had changed. And so they didn't give us enough time, enough people to work with in the provinces. So we had to ensure the safety of South Africans in ensuring that everyone is able to attend the public hearings. So as part of the analysis of the inputs that we received, Honorable Chair, I'm just gonna briefly go through these. There were submissions from the African National Congress, the Democratic Alliance, as well as the Economic Freedom Fighters, that were the same as inputs received in various provinces, as they are mostly scripted. So we find that in each province, I'll be specific, especially where it's the ANC, it was the DA and the EFF. Most people spoke from scripted points of view. So I think we observed it in 3, if not 4 different provinces. Traditional councils requested that communal land should be exempted from expropriation, and this was also a general view that we found in all provinces. There was also confusion between the expropriation bill and the process of the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution, which was mostly evident in Limpopo. Therefore, most submissions were one-sided and focused on the amendment of the Constitution to allow for expropriation of land without compensation. And there was less inputs on the objects of the expropriation bill. And this caused a bit of a skew kind of view, Honorable Chair, in terms of what the inputs were that were included in the report. A few speakers noted that while the beneficiaries that received their land back through the land claims process, this process was being undermined by the traditional leaders or chiefs that took over these lands and gave them to others, particularly foreigners and mining companies. While other presenters maintained that the process of the expropriation bill should be halted until the amendment of the Constitution to expropriate land without compensation is finalized, it was further suggested that the expropriation bill should be an enabling legislation that regulates how land will be expropriated without compensation. And this was mostly the Economic Freedom Fighters' sponsored point of view. Some of the traditional leaders blamed entities such as the communal property associations as weakening the powers of the traditional leaders and undercutting their authority. Some speakers viewed title deeds as unnecessary, particularly if beneficiaries were to have land returned to them without paying compensation. And some speakers argued that title deeds represented people receiving stands, and this was argued was not what people wanted. Instead, they wanted the land returned. In other areas, Honorable Chairperson, a number of speakers claimed that the land should be expropriated without compensation, as the land dispossession could not be simply counted from the enactment of the 1913 Land Act, as was currently stated as the cut-off date in the Constitution. It was argued that the said dispossession stretched as far back as 1652 with the initial settlement of the Cape by Jan van Riebeeck. As noted above, Chapter 5 was viewed by some of the speakers as an attempt to pay compensation. This was suggested should be removed, and that any funds intended to be used to pay for compensation should instead be made available to advance small-scale farmers. In other views, while a few speakers indicated the support of the bill, this support was conditional. The presenters indicated that using this provision was not the correct term. Instead, the repossession was to be the appropriate term. As some presenters opposed to the expropriation bill indicated that it was due to the bill appearing to preempt the process of the ad hoc committee on the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution. Views, which were economic freedom fighters sponsored, were of the idea that this was putting the cart before the horse, kind of a thing. So their preference was that let's rather let the process of the ad hoc committee on the amendment of Section 25 carry through, and then thereafter process the expiration bill. The speakers were particularly concerned about the youth and vulnerable groups, such as the elderly, that were still awaiting the return of their land, many of whom had already passed on without the first land claims being processed and finalized. In the Western Cape region, the Khoisan chiefs, who constituted a sizable contingent of traditional leaders, strongly voiced their opinion about the legality of the bill and emphasized that land should rather be given to them as the first indigenous nation of South Africa. They have organized themselves under the organization called FINSA. Some women and youth were mainly concerned about ensuring that there would be empowerment strategies in the pipeline to equip the vulnerable groups, that includes the people with disabilities, on how to work the land and use it for profiteering purposes. We also got some views from the faith-based organizations that told the committee that they supported the bill as it would ensure that land is available for the creation of worship and pastoral care centers, given the escalating level of social ills whose victims are the African majority in the country. Chair, now moving to the key amendments that were proposed by the civil society during our public hearings in the provinces. One, the amendment of Chapter 5 of the bill is outlined in Section 3.2.2.5b, where it speaks about expropriation with nil compensation. So some of these views were about the actual definition of expropriation, and some referred to the fact that the bill should not read with nil compensation. It should rather read strictly and explicitly without compensation. And some other views, as I've already spoken to when I was dealing with the analysis, felt that there should be no compensation for expropriation. And I know the Democratic Alliance view was there should be no provision for nil compensation at all, because people would rather then be losing their land or property to the state. There was also a view that the definition of expropriation on the actual bill should actually be further explained because it was not clear enough. There was also a view that we needed to define property as of to what exactly does it mean. Could it be your car? Could it be your cell phone? Could it be your clothing? Or would it only speak to property or land? There was a view that there should be some inclusion of mineral and water rights. For instance, here, Honorable Chair, I remember the speaker very vividly stating that if the state has noted there's some land that needs to be expropriated without compensation. What then happens to the minerals, especially water, that was supposedly belonging to the person on their own, get to now belong to the municipality, or does it remain with the municipality after the land has been expropriated? So it was things like those. There was also a view, as I've already pointed out, about nil compensation clauses 12.3 and 12.4 that needed to be amended according to the inputs. As my colleague has already pointed out, there are issues. There were also issues that were raised which were outside the ambit of the bill, with which we think the committee should rather refer to the relevant portfolio committees or select committees within Parliament. One was the security of tenure. It was title deeds, a whole host of issues ranging from the claims of challenges on farms, which is farm evictions. People complained about not being properly paid in farms. Some were illegally evicted and some would not even be able to go and check the grave sites of the sisters. So it was a whole host of ideas and inputs that we received around this point. There were also traditional leadership concerns, because some traditional leaders were also feeling that the state is not taking them seriously, which was exactly outside the ambit of this bill, but we had to listen to the concerns. There were also service delivery issues, there were land claims issues, and arrangements from years. People were complaining that the claims have not been processed by the relevant department. Some people really raised economic implications that they felt the bill would bring about. There was an issue of the threat of food security. People raised issues about mining, and some raised issues about government support and corruption. Moving to the, in terms of the support of the bill, Honorable Chairperson, we see here a slightly different view from the previous two indicative graphs that we spoke to. 42% of the people on the ground overall in all nine provinces supported the bill. 27% did not support the bill. And the 31% was either unsure or they did not indicate. They just stood up and stated their facts, most of which they could not, and either they could not understand the ambits of the bill or the objects of the bill, or they were not properly educated in one area or the other, or some just decided that they're going to go and talk about their service delivery issues and not speak about issues that are about the objects of the bill. If we look at the support of the bill per province, Chairperson, we'll see in Limpopo, and the blue bar stands for everyone who supported the bill. The orange bar stands for some people who did not support the bill, and the gray ones are people that did not indicate, or rather were unsure whether they would like to support the bill. This also, Chairperson, I need to highlight that it also speaks to the fact that some people were still confusing the expropriation bill with the amendment of Section 25. So they wouldn't say whether they support this bill or not. So in Limpopo, we see about 90% of the people that attended the hearings in all four districts in Limpopo supported. About 38% did not support. And we see about 60% actually was unsure. And we see a different picture in Mpumalanga, where some did and some did not, but there was a lower level of people who could not understand. This is also, Chair, an indicator that people in Mpumalanga were properly educated about the bill. So our colleagues in the public education unit did due diligence to public education. So people were certain as of to what is it that they wanted to support. And if they didn't support, they were clear why they also didn't support. And here we also saw a feature of what I also alluded to earlier on, Chair, that people that when they were mostly politically mobilized and their views were scripted. In the Northwest, to the contrary, Honorable Chairperson, we found a lot of service delivery issues and land claims issues. So most people didn't even talk about the bill. Hence, you see the graph being a bit skewed there, focusing on more of the gray area. In Gauteng, also there, people were, some were uncertain, some managed to support or either not support the bill. I'll jump all the other provinces, Chairperson. Oh, then I should speak to KZN. KZN is peculiar because of the Ingonyama Trust, which is under Amakosi in KZN, traditional leaders. So there, what the traditional leadership was clear about was that whatever the government does, they should not touch the Ingonyama Trust land. So they should leave everything there. However, they were of the view that they're in support of the expropriation bill, and they also stated that they support the expropriation of land without compensation. In the Eastern Cape, Honorable Chairperson, they were also thoroughly mobilized. We made consultations throughout with traditional leaders and other stakeholders, and most of the people in the Eastern Cape then supported the bill. The other two last provinces, Honorable Chairperson, which is the Northern Cape and the Free State, were done after quite a break was taken due to lockdown regulations. But then we also received a sizable number of people who either supported or not supported the bill. Chairperson, in conclusion, we recommend that the Portfolio Committee adopts the expropriation bill public participation reports as a true reflection of inputs received from the public while processing this piece of legislation. Further to this, the legal advisors from Parliament, DPWI, and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor would need to respond to issues raised in this report and advise the committee on how the bill amendment process will unfold. And this is due next week. We have a scheduled meeting to take place on Wednesday at the same time. And the committee should, during the first term of 2022, prioritize the consideration of the bill clause by clause as prescribed in the NA Rule 2866, with the aim to finalize the process and table the final report for tabling in Parliament. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Chairperson. I'd like to now hand over to you for deliberation. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Thank you, Mr. Denzin, for a detailed presentation on what we have done in terms of the written submissions, in terms of the oral presentations, and in the summary of what we had gone through when we went to all the provinces. I will now recognize the honorable members. For their engagement on this. You can also assist me, Ms. Martinez, if for now, I only see only two hands. If there are any hands that you see on your side, you can just indicate to me, Indiba, there is also this other hand. The first hand is the one of Honorable Graham Murray. The second hand is the one of Honorable Suisa. The third hand is one of Honorable Van Skalvaag. The fourth one is one of Honorable Hicklin. I have only those four hands for now. I will then invite some other hands. Maybe they'll come back later on. But over to you, Honorable Graham Murray.
Thanks so much, Chair. I'd like to just start off by commending our team. This has been an absolutely mammoth undertaking, and the thoroughness with which you've dealt with everything has been really, really exceptional. I know that the same couldn't be said of the ad hoc committee on the Section 25 amendment. So, you know, it was obviously something that we were alert to because so much of the work that was done there was kind of bypassed. Whereas you guys have just been outstanding in the detail that you've gone into, in the capturing that has happened. So thank you. And thank you also to the rest of the parliamentary team. I did write to the speaker to commend them on the outstanding work done in line with our public hearings. It was a really well-oiled machine. We had a couple of glitches, but I mean, you know, they were minor in comparison to the incredible work that was done. So I just wanted to start off by saying that. That being said, the volume of information we've been provided with has made it a little bit difficult. I didn't have time, what with post-election stuff, et cetera, to go through everything. So at this stage, the only report I have read fully is the one on the public hearings, because at this stage, those were the ones that I had the best frame of reference for. And I just wanted to ensure that everything that had happened was properly captured. So I'll speak to that in a sec. I just want to raise a couple of concerns with respect to the presentation that was made this morning. And the one is that aligning with an organization's views does not make it not a personal view. So it, to me, it can't be a contradiction. If I say I agree with the DA in terms of their submission because they are encapsulating the issues that I have with the bill, my personal opinion is in alignment with that, but it doesn't mean that it can't be taken as an independent view. So I do think that I have a bit of an issue with that. And the other thing I'd like to say is that onteiening is the Afrikaans word for expropriation. Expropriation means taking something away from its owner. And that's exactly what onteiening is. I mean, if you translate expropriation without compensation, it's onteiening sonder vergoeding. So I'm just concerned that there's been a sort of thing around the name of onteiening as though it is not an accurate reflection of what is happening. Onteiening and expropriation are the same thing. So I think I kind of get a sense that there's this perception that's being created that onteiening is a misconception or is a miscommunication of what's happening, whereas it's actually the same thing. So those are just two of my issues with the presentation we received this morning. Having gone through the report, the first issue I have is that there's a section on Limpopo, which is our first province. When you get to page 26, and it talks about the sort of submission, so it goes into the detail outside of the numerical issues. It says that it's exactly the same. It's a copy and paste from Mpumalanga. So if you look at it, it keeps saying in the previous province, when we were in Limpopo, and it speaks about Mpumalanga. But that starts on page 26, and Mpumalanga's entire report only starts on page 30. So please can the committee, the staff, just check you don't have a sort of discussion around Limpopo. What you've included under Limpopo is on Mpumalanga. Also, the banking sector, the issue around the banking sector and the mortgage in that, you've placed outside of the ambit of the bill in several places. So when you talk about issues around the bill, you include a whole lot of things. And then you talk about the issues outside the ambit of the bill. And you're placing that banking sector outside the ambit of the bill. However, that does speak to section 12.3, and it talks about mortgages, et cetera, and the impact that that could have. So I'm not sure that should be separated from points raised on the bill. I don't think it's an external issue like some of the other things that were raised. There was on page 75, there was a thing about a provision of, good Lord, I can't even read my own handwriting. Provision of provisional something on page 75. I don't know what that meant. And then also there was repetition of A and B under the 3.266. And then it would be on the next province they repeated it, on the next province they repeated it. So I understand that the same sort of topics were raised, but it's a little bit disconcerting when exactly the same wording is used in the report in three or four different provinces. Then Northern Cape and Free State, we got extremely detailed feedback in those tables. I mean, literally, it was almost like every single individual in input was captured, whereas we didn't have the same level of feedback from the other provinces. So I wondered why we got so much detail on Northern Cape and Free State, and it was a lot less detailed on the other provinces. I mean, it could have just been, you know, exhaustion and whatever. Page 90, they speak about Khoisan rock drillings. I think it should be drawings. And then also on page 92, we speak about 40 bucks, but I think that should be goats. I think that the people were talking about Boka. So I think those are the issues I had there. The other thing was I started going through the email submissions, the Word document, the raw data sheet. There are several sections where you've got, like on page 13, it says the Premier of the Western Cape, and the only thing listed under the information is a Word document. There's no information there. So was because it wasn't on the submission the way Shoaib had mentioned it, is the detail then precluded from being in the form? Page 17, there were four others that were the same. Page 26, there were two DA inputs with no info attached. So I just wondered if you could just provide clarity on that. And as I say, I still have to work through the public hearings and the oral submissions and the other raw data sheet. So I will make written inputs on those, if I may, Chair, once I've had an opportunity to go through them in detail. But otherwise, once again, thank you for a phenomenal achievement by our incredible support team. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm afraid I'm in a poor network area. I'm afraid of switching on my video due to network problems. Chair, I've got only one issue that I think was excluded on when we came to people who made submissions, oral submissions from organizations. I'm just looking for the slide. Yeah, the one on the 7th. And I see that EFF is not mentioned there. And then when you go to the submissions that were done, I see all organizations or bodies are being mentioned there, and the EFF is not mentioned, especially when it comes to when I read their submission where they speak about the state being the custodian of the land, and in the bill it's spoken about the minister having powers to distribute the land and everything. So I think maybe it's an omission from that side, but maybe I can also be given a clarity pertaining that information or the submission that was done by one of our members, Sam Matias, as a verbal submission to the committee on the 7th of September. Thank you, Chair. That's all for now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Chairperson and honorable members and all officials present, including the staff members. Before I proceed, I would like to stop my video. I just wanted to greet you in person. Chairperson, when I look, I'm not going to venture into the details of the submissions, as we would have the appropriate time to deal with that. But firstly, allow myself to really congratulate our team, led by the secretary, but also the members led by our honorable chair, who endured long hours on the roads, many times not favorable road conditions, late nights, early mornings across the length and breadth of the country. This clearly shows to me, Chairperson, the type of members and staff that we have in this committee, who's really committed to the issues that's going to bring about change in our country, but also to strengthen a democracy through our legislative processes. Chairperson, just a few points that I want to raise, some that has been raised and some which I would raise afterwards at another engagement when going deeper into the issues. When we look, Chairperson, at the submissions that has been made, the mammoth task that has been done and the sterling work that has been done in trying to streamline the issues, streamline the views by the public at large. I totally agree, Chairperson, with the viewpoint and with the approach of our staff when dealing with certain issues and certain inputs, especially with regards to the many repetitions that has been submitted. And I don't think we there's another way to deal with it, because even though individuals raise their views and it can be seen as their own viewpoints, there's a clear indication that many individuals raise views that represent the views of certain organizations. And we cannot look the other way, Jay, when looking at those kind of issues. Then, Chairperson, I would also like to appreciate the channeling of the issues that are relevant to other portfolio committees and also to other spheres of government, like, for instance, your local government sphere, seeing that we are representatives of Parliament and the society at large use this platform of public hearings to ventilate their general concerns also. And they saw the opportunity and they made use of it. And it was totally correct and in line for us not to ignore it, but instead channeling that to the correct portfolio committees or legislative or line of duty. Chairperson, when we look at what has been submitted and the many submissions that were dropped, I think it assisted us, because when we look at the missing data categories and what that entails and the explanation given by Mr. Dennison and Ms. Martinise, I think that was also the correct approach that they were using in order to assist us in moving forward and to really give effect to this bill that's seeking to establish administrative system and to ensure that the effect is brought about, that the bill is not about land reform or any other issues that's been brought to the fore. So with those few words, Chairperson, I'll pause there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'd like to echo the sentiments of everyone who has spoken before me and raise a proverbial glass of congratulations to our phenomenal team who has driven this process. While we, as the portfolio committee, went from the length and breadth of the country listening to all the submissions, our support team had to decipher and interpret all the submissions that were received, and I cannot thank you enough for doing such an incredible job. in dealing with everything that has been received. One thing I would like to just say, please, a very big please, and it is somewhat in line with what my colleague Samantha Graham mentioned. The submission, when one makes a submission that says, I concur with a viewpoint made by X political party or Y political party, that is still my individual belief, and I believe in that belief because that is what I identify with. It doesn't negate that position. And I am harping in particular on the view on the property clause. Very many people are very worried about the concern about the word property in this expropriation bill. And I think we cannot actually just dismiss it because we're saying that this expropriation bill does not deal with property. It very much does deal with property. It does deal with the removal of property through expropriation without compensation, and that word property is ill-defined. And I think we need to look at what property actually means in relation to the Expropriation Bill 23 of 2020. And we need to look at it very carefully because that is a major concern that applies to so many people who did make input into this extensive process, and we cannot just lump it together by saying that that is not the focus of this bill, in exactly the same way as so many people got the idea that this expropriation bill 23 of 2020 was going to address the land reform question. Like Honorable Gramery, I haven't had time to go through the raw data. And it, with your indulgence, Chair, I would like to also make some submissions at a later date. But we cannot walk away from the fact that so many people believe that this particular bill is going to give me, you, and so many other people access to a piece of land purely because this bill is going to be passed by Parliament. It means I am going to get a piece of land, whether it's got a house on or not. It's going to give me a piece of land that I can call my own. That's not the purpose of this bill. And I think we need to be very clear on that. And so it has to be taken into account in the deliberations. And other than just once again reiterating what colleague Sharon Skullfake said, that we have the most phenomenal group of colleagues who dedicated themselves in going from point A to point Z, 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 right the way through this country, listening to the views of people who needed to express themselves. We really were taking Parliament to the people and listening to the views of the people across the length and breadth of this country. I am proud to be a member of this portfolio committee and proud to be a member of this parliament that actually listened to South Africans. Thank you very much to everybody who put themselves out there, who went with us, and the task at times was very arduous. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, comrades. Apologies. Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. I don't know the other members that I invited because I would have loved all the other members to comment. But since the questions more are for clarities, Ms. Martinez and Mr. Shuaib, can you please respond to those questions? And like Honorable Sewis are saying that there is something missing, just like Honorable Graham Murray
indicated that there is something missing and why we concentrated on this, not on this. Can you please come on those questions?
Thank you.
Chair, I see Ms. Njobo, Honorable Njobo had her mic on. I think she wanted to input.
Oh, I was checking for the head. I didn't see it. Honorable Njobo, you may come in.
Not now, Chair.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nola.
Chair, may I go first and then I will leave the more difficult ones to my colleague. Chairperson?
You are audible.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to know whether I got the go-ahead. Thank you, Chair. I want to first deal, Chairperson, with the matter raised by the Honourable Graham Marais. She raised a number of stuff, but what I want to just say, Chair, is again, it's useful when we have other eyes looking. I want to specifically deal with this matter of personal views and organizational views. We tried very hard, Chairperson, to deal with a data set that was unexpectedly huge. Hey, go away. Sorry, I've got a dog that's naughty here. Get away. My apologies for that. And that size of the data set, it's not only that this was the size that was huge, but also our task of ensuring that everyone's view finds its way into affecting this bill. That's what our task was, first and foremost. And so we wanted to identify clauses that were problematic to people. So when we make the point that in the email submissions, the feature of the email submissions, there's nothing we can do about it. If the feature is that of organizations having bulk emails available for those who have access to those bulk emails to make their point, and that in the process, the views expressed, whether I say it's my individual view or not, and whether that is correctly so, my individual view. Look, we are allowed to align ourselves to an organization. There's no problem with that. The point is just that it is through the bulk emails that people use the categories provided in the emails rather than the categories that Parliament said had to be part of their submissions. In that way, that's why we call them naughty submitters. In that way, it made it very difficult and in some cases almost impossible to add them as individual submissions. That doesn't mean that any one individual who said, this is my individual submission, was thrown away. What it does mean is that the submissions that we have, the number of 119,402, as well as the 129,127, which was the initial amount that came in, that it's probably so that we have less views. That's the point that we made, the difference between individual and organization. That is the only point that we make. It's no other point that we make. Similarly, the defining onteiening as a process of taking something away from someone, correctly therefore defined as expropriation. There was no assigning of any meaning different to what those words are saying. So there's a perception that is not part of what it is the team tried to do with that. I want to just also deal with a few of the Word documents of the DA, as well as the Premier of the Western Cape. And then I can add to that an organization such as, what's their name now? The Property Developers Development Forum. There's a Western Cape Property Development Forum. These organizations sent PDFs and Word. And when we analyze, they were captured in the Word, sorry, in the Excel document. That Excel, the mother document, is so massive that once you click on it, you wait for quite a while for it to become alive again. And so some of them were very difficult to access in that way. But let me just say that and I said it earlier on in the presentation, our focus was less on how many yes and how many no in the email submissions. And we are open about that. Our attempt was to take that massive data set and ensure that we identify the clauses that is problematic for the public. The Property Development Forum, the DA, and the Western Cape Premier's input focused quite a lot on the importance of property to be defined properly. It focused quite a lot on the process of expropriation, and it focused on the need for a stable property market, because there is an underlying perception in these submissions that I'm speaking about that this bill is going to disturb the property market, the private property market, to such a degree that the economy, the local economy, will suffer, and that in the case of the Western Cape, the Cape Town Metro may not have a stable property market from which it draws its massive income through rates and water and electricity charges. So they made quite a useful input on the matter of the definition. And they complained also about, in the case of clause 12, and I hope you bear with me, Chair, clause 12.3 that speaks of it may be just and equitable for nil compensation to be paid where land is expropriated in the public interest, having regard, and then it lists those circumstances. Now, that 3A, 12.3A, B, C, D, and E, as well as 12.3.4, is the gist of what is the majority. Members might recall the slide where I said it's unfortunately almost not legible, because I tried to put so much information in there, where the clauses are identified. That 12.3a, b, c, d, and e features heavily there, and so that is part of what was in the DA Western Cape Property Development and the previous submissions. And these will be, let me just assist the members also, even though you see something that you expected to feature is not strongly featured in here, in the presentation, rest assured, these are all going to be responded to by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor and Parliament's Legal Advisor and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. They have to do so in more detail per clause, and I hope that that satisfies. Was there another thing? No. See, that's it. I want to give my colleague a chance to deal with the issue of Mpumalanga and Limpopo repetitions. which could just be tired eyes that forgot to move information properly into one of the sections. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, colleague. It indeed was tired eyes, because as members can appreciate, we were working through a lot of information, volumes and volumes that we had to make sense of. And with that, we apologize for that error, Honorable Graham Murray. We will endeavor to make the amendments as you proposed on all the errors that you picked up. And we'd also appreciate if you're able to send your written comments on the comments that you gave actually in the meeting today. Would appreciate if you can send them by email so that we can make sure that everything is captured as you have proposed. And we rather focus on the areas that you have also picked up. The other issue, honorable members, which I think I should actually speak to or address rather quickly, I would like to allay members' fears that today's reports are not the actual final report of the expropriation bill B23-2020 that will be going to the House for adoption or rather deliberation upon. What today's reports are basically stating are the inputs that we received in all three phases of public participation. It's exactly for that reason. Number two, the purpose of these reports is so that our legal advisors from one parliament to the DPWI and the Office of the State Law Advisor can be able to pick up on issues that the public has raised in terms of the bill, in terms of the objects of the bill, and what has the public basically proposed as changes that need to be made to the bill, which is the reason why they're coming back to the committee next week to come and report as of to this is the process that's going to be followed in trying to ensure that the bill depicts exactly what the public has given inputs on. So now that I've dealt with that one, Honorable Graham Murray and Honorable Hicklin referred to the fact that an individual view remains an individual view, regardless of which political party they then resonate with. On that issue, honorable members, we fairly agree. The public hearings in their nature, this bill in its nature is a very contentious bill. And with that, we've also noted that political parties themselves are equally very interested in the objects of this bill for one reason or the other. So we thought instead of us having to, because if you remember when I did my presentation about the public hearings and how the inputs were affected in, we realized that in many provinces we have the same script. I'll make an example with the EFF. The EFF from Limpopo until I think Gauteng was stating that they don't understand why Parliament was wasting money on this bill. We should rather wait for the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution before we can carry on with this bill. That was the gist of their submission through and through, from Limpopo until Gauteng. In one of the other provinces, you would find an individual who is aligning with what the EFF is saying. However, they'd submit some other information on top of that. And those are recorded as such on the actual report. So I don't think we should have fear that some of the inputs have been captured under a certain political party. It is allowed, and it is basically a reflection of what had transpired in the public hearings. It's just that we didn't want to overload the information repeating the same thing. So rather, for ease of referencing, we thought we should do it in that fashion, especially for the provinces that were scripted. I've already alluded to the fact that we would appreciate written correspondence regarding all the errors that were picked up in the report, and we profusely apologize for the errors that were noted on there. Honorable Siwisa refers to the EFF submission being excluded from the oral submissions. I can confirm, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that on the oral submissions report for the submissions that are made on the 7th of September, it was Honorable Matias, not Honorable Mende, who came to do the presentation. And that input has been thoroughly captured on the table, in the table that is on that report of the 7th. And I've just double checked this. So instead of, it was meant to be Honorable Mende before, but then the name was changed later and that office confirmed with us that it was going to be Honorable Matias. So it is captured there. Honorable Member, I would like you to satisfy yourself and just double check it. In case on the report that was sent to you, it was probably omitted, but on the one that I have, it is definitely included. We thank you, Honorable Members, for all the comments, for the compliments that you have given the team. It was indeed not an easy task to execute, given the fact that it was the first of its kind in this portfolio committee that we had taken from the onset until the stage that we're in now. And we thank you very much for your cooperation, because if it wasn't for that, it would have been impossible for us to attain the tasks that we've currently done. Honorable Hicklin, I think your comments about the property clause, my colleague Shoaib has already covered it, in that in the presentation as well, we did make mention of the fact that one of the key amendments that were proposed was the amendment of the property clause. So as Shoaib said, some of the information may not have been on the actual presentation, but if you look at the bulk reports that we sent through sometime last week, most of these views have been captured on there. However, we are not saying, if honorable members feel that some of the inputs that they know for a fact, especially from the political parties that were submitted during either the oral submissions or the public hearings, or even the written submissions for that matter, if any honorable member somehow feels that there's a fact that we have not thoroughly captured on the report, please feel free to advise us within the next few days. We'd appreciate if we can get that because we need to ensure that the deliberations that we submit to our colleagues who will have to come back and respond next week are thorough and concise. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. On these responses that Mr. Martinez and Mr. Shoaib have made, any other follow-up? I can see Honorable Njobo's hand. Any?
Thank you.
Okay, over to you, Honorable Njobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have any questions. Just I'd like to join other members to welcome the report and congratulate the job done by our team. Thank you so much, team. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. Raised issues, comments on the presentations that you have made to us. What will be the next step, Ms. Martinez and Shoaib? I understand that today it's not for us to discuss the report. You were just showing us what you have captured, and there are comments that have been made and clarities have been provided where there were clarity seeking questions. So what is the next step in us discussing this and taking it to Parliament? Can you then present the process that we have to follow? I understand that we still have to talk on this, but remember, Ms. Martinez, whatever that will be providing it to you, there are no new additions that we are going to get, like saying that we are bringing this now. The time for that has been long closed, but it's only for something that we feel it is not there and it was there. So that is only that we will accept. Otherwise, we won't accept submissions from any other people other than the members now. Can you then outline what will follow after this one? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. On this, on the screen, I've beamed up a slide that speaks to the process in terms of Rule 2866. Today, as I said earlier, Chairperson, that we are deliberating on the actual on the public inputs that we received as we have finalized the public participation phase of the bill. So the next stage is next week. We will be then receiving some feedback from our learned colleagues of the legal practitioners from Parliament, DPWI, and the Office of the State Law Advisor. Hence, we would like to propose, Chair, that if there's any input from the members, as you've already outlined how it should be done, we'd like to receive it at least by no later than Friday, because we'd also like to do due diligence to the to those reports, because we would also well, the colleagues will have to respond to them next week, because so we would want to give them cleaner reports that have all the information that's been captured. So after this, Chairperson, unfortunately, wouldn't be able to do this during this term. We would have to, the committee will have to formally consider the bill clause by clause, which is what our last slide had spoken to, that we propose that that be done during the first term of 2022. After that, Chair, of course, the committee will deliberate and establish whether everything that the committee wants on the actual report is proper and according to what the committee wants it to reflect, or how it wants it to reflect. So after the committee has satisfied itself, we'll basically consider and adopt the main report of the expropriation bill. And hence I said, this one is not the actual final report that will be tabled at the time and that will be considered at the time. These three, and if you look at it, it's three different documents. It is not just the one document. So we still have to go back as colleagues and finalize one simple report that will be adopted by the portfolio committee. After that report has been adopted, the final version of the bill will then be adopted. So next week's presentation is mainly a culmination of what the basically be getting an idea of how the final bill may look like after the inputs that the public had given have been factored in. I'll pause it there, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez, for that clear presentation of what has to be followed. I again invite honorable members to respond and make comments on this process that we are going to follow. Today, we're not discussing clause by clause. We just want to check whether the presentations in public hearings, oral submissions, and what we are expecting them to be. But on the next meeting that will be dealing with the expropriation, we will then discuss clause by clause. Of course, the legal team will be here to assist us whether is this correct or not legally. We would like them to be here before we take this to Parliament. And the proposal, because of time constraints, honorable members, we know that we had to attend to local government elections. And if it was not for that, having local government elections on the 1st of November, we could have been through with this. Maybe it would have been in Parliament now for discussion. But do we accept this proposal that is being brought to us by our team, that the suitable time for us to discuss this, it will be better if it is in one of our first meetings in when we start the next quarter in 2022. I am inviting you, honorable members, to comment on this or engage on this. The only hand now is Honorable Graham Murray. There's Honorable Hicklin, there's Honorable Van Skalvaag. Can we then, in that order, honorable members, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Van Skalvaag, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much to the team for the clarifications. And yes, Nola, I will certainly put everything in writing to you. please note it's not criticism. It's just to make sure that our report is a true reflection. And I know how hard it's been to capture everything. I mean, it's just insane. So I would like to support the proposal. I'm looking forward to hearing the feedback next week, and I'm looking forward to the debate next year. I think it's going to give us sufficient time to look at what the inputs were and then be adequately prepared for a clause-by-clause debate next year. So thank you very much. I do support the proposal.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Graham Murray. Honourable Hicklin, apologies.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to second what Honourable Graham Murray said. I too, Nola, will get whatever notes I believe are necessary, and they will just be additional notes of clarity, not criticisms as well. I support and second what Honourable Graham Murray has said. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Franz Galway.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also echo the same sentiments as raised by the Secretary, Ms. Martinise, and also seconded by the previous members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Van Skalvik. Ms. Martinise, do we have any other item today other than this item that we have dealt with?
No, Chairperson. We will deal with minutes during the next week's meeting because we've got a couple of minutes that we need to go through. But because we thought this meeting would take longer, so we didn't schedule it for today. So we were all good to go, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Thank you, Honourable Members. One, let's appreciate that we are this far with expropriation bill number 23 of 2020. It has not been an easy journey, but it was a serious, necessary journey. You will remember, Honourable Members, that it was not once, but several times. For oral submissions, we extended time when we saw that our time coincided with the December holidays, and there were many calls for us to extend the time. And as such, we did that. We had also those WhatsApp messages that led to the link, and we received all the positive submissions. By positive, I mean whether you support or you don't support. But when we extended time, we saw positive results of many emails coming in. And then we had COVID that limited us in many times. We had to stop. We had to not go to Free State when the numbers in Free State were increasing. But when we had to go again, you were there, Honourable Members, ensuring that this bill is tabled to people of South Africa for public hearings, for them to respond to it. And I would really appreciate all the work that you have done. I also would like to appreciate all those that participated in public hearings, in our oral presentations, and those that wrote, submitting their views on this important bill. Definitely, this is a crucial bill. Whether you support it with reasons, whether you don't support it with reasons, because everyone here is just not mumbling or fumbling around. There are reasons that for those that are in support and for those that don't support this bill. That's why it is a very crucial bill. I then ask you, Honourable Members, to go back, read all the documents that we have. We have ample time, even when we are not meeting, so that you familiarise yourself. But when we deal with legal aspects of it, and when we discuss the report clause by clause, all of us would be in power, and you would have the mandate from your political party or your support group that will be supporting you whether to support or not. But this definitely is a bill that we have to take to the parliament as this portfolio committee. Thank you again for your participation in this meeting. I know that millions of South Africa are still looking at us as this portfolio committee to see where will we take this bill. For now, we are pausing. We will meet for this bill in 2022. Okay. But other programs of the portfolio committee, we have a portfolio committee next week to deal with our issues of the portfolio committee. Thank you again, honorable members, for your participation in this meeting. Thank you, Ms. Martinise, Mr. Shoaib, and Ms. Inez, for the support you are always providing to this committee. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, Ms.
Hello,
Ntobo.
Sir.
Yes,
Ms. Ntobo. Ms. Martinise, and Mbone Kogeka, Tukuti Baeza, Nabakwenyan.
You understand
recording
that
stopped.
We are still live, isn't it? Ms. Honorable